The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
In this sacred place, democracy was attacked, simply attacked. And on this day of remembrance, we must make sure that such attack never, never happens again. The Bible tells us that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. We shall know the truth. Well, here is the God's truth about January 6, 2021. Rioters rampaging, waving for the first time inside this Capitol, Confederate flag that symbolized the cause to destroy America, to rip us apart. Even during the Civil War, that never, ever happened. Fire extinguishers being thrown at the heads of police officers, literally erecting gallows to hang the Vice President of the United States of America. This wasn't a group of tourists. This was an armed insurrection. In life, there's truth. And tragically, there are lies. Lies conceived and spread for profit and power. We must be absolutely clear about what is true and what is a lie. And here's the truth. The former President of the United States of America has created and spread a web of lies about the 2020 election. Are we going to be a nation that lives not by the light of the truth, but in the shadow of lies? The way forward is to recognize the truth and to live by it. Former president's supporters are trying to rewrite history. They want you to see Election Day as the day of insurrection. Here's the truth. The election of 2020 was the greatest demonstration of democracy in the history of this country. Over 150 million Americans went to the polls and voted that day in a pandemic. The truth is that no election in American history has been more closely scrutinized or more carefully counted. Every legal challenge questioning the results in every court in this country that could have been made was made and was rejected. Phony partisan audits were undertaken long after the election in several states. None changed the results. He built his lie over months. Wasn't based on any facts. He was just looking for an excuse, a pretext, to cover for the truth. He's not just a former president. He's a defeated former president. Defeated by a margin of over 7 million of your votes in a full and free and fair election. There is simply zero proof the election results are inaccurate. The former president who lies about this election and the mob that attacked this Capitol could not be further away from the core American values. They want to rule, or they will ruin.
81 million votes. There's your most popular American president in U.S. history. Sounding very, very defensive. And I'm not sure he used the word truth quite enough. Even waxing eloquent from John 8. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We've got so much to get to on today's program. That's the fake president there speaking earlier today. He made some comments about, just comparing it to 9/11, or I guess it was Kamala Harris. We've got a clip from her as well. But I was just thinking as he was rattling off truth after truth after truth, in word only. Of course, he's spreading lies. But if you think back at 9/11 or following 9/11 or Pearl Harbor, Kamala Harris saying it's worse than Pearl Harbor, imagine a president coming along a year after that event and saying, look, it really was bad. And there's a lot of people saying it wasn't bad, but it was bad. That's essentially what they're doing with January 6th. It was just 12 months ago. If it was so horrific, well, I mean, the images speak for themselves, but the images, well, Brian Stelter told us, remember? That you watch it on TV and it just doesn't look as violent as it really and truly was. There they are. There they are. Statuary Hall just staying right there between the ropes. All of the insurrectionists in line. Cue it up. Milling around. Another thing that struck me this morning in watching the opening of Joe Scarborough's coverage is the endless loop. I mean, you see some of it with the footage we show, but just over and over, and anything that's the least bit violent, I mean, it's on a continuous play, a continuous loop. And also just the pictures, lots of still photos of just the crowd outside. And what you see when you look at the crowd, a lot of American flags, a lot of Trump 2020 signs. Yes, and some signs saying the election was stolen. But just, what struck me was so much red, white, and blue. Now, that's not to say there weren't violent aspects of this protest. It did turn violent. But we know so much more that we didn't know last year at this time. Although, as I've said to you before, I think we're pretty proud of the title we selected for the January 7 program, 2021, the one that we played just the day after all of it happened. There's the siege, and then there's the fake siege. And so there really and truly is a war over the truth. And there's your fake president sounding like an angel of light going on and on and on about what the truth is. What is the truth? Well, so if there's a few hundred that were stirring up violence, you've arrested that many and more, believe me. The DOJ, they released a statement last week bragging. It's up to 750 now that have been arrested. And a lot of these people rotting away in jail. And then, of course, the ones, the key insiders, like Ray Epps, not arrested. John Sullivan, Antifa, arrested the day of and then let go. And then he became a celebrity on CNN for a moment before people figured out that he was Antifa. And the other guy from the Proud Boys, not arrested. They were the ones urging people. Sullivan was right next to Ashley Babbitt when she got gunned down. He was that deep into the bowels of Congress. How is he not in jail for months and months and months? There's so much about this that is untrue. So many lies and the truth being covered up. If that's someone, what you just heard there, who's confident in his position, he's the most popular president in history. He's really uniting the country. His policies are helping the country really take off. If all that's happening, he's not giving a speech like what you just heard. He gives an angry, defensive speech, an accusatory speech, because he's being exposed. He's being exposed as the fraud that he is, and everything is collapsing around him, and so January 6th is all that he has, and they're using it. They're using it to persecute Trump supporters. They're using it. They're going to use it to go after congressmen and women. And ultimately, of course, the big prize is Donald Trump himself. They want to disqualify him. They don't want him running again. some of these headlines. One of them I read to you the other day. Every day is January 6th now. So every day, we've got to have people like that tell us that, hey, this is worse than 9/11. This is worse than Pearl Harbor. Listen to a little bit from the fake vice president earlier today as well, clip 13.
December 7th, 1941. September 11th, 2001. And January 6th, 2021. On January 6th, we all saw what our nation would look like if the forces who seek to dismantle our democracy are successful. The strength of democracy is the principle that everyone should be treated equally, that elections should be free and fair, that corruption should be given no quarter. We must pass voting rights bills that are now before the Senate. We must unite in defense of our democracy in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our prosperity and posterity.
Lots of talk about liberty and truth and blessings and prosperity and democracy, even as they continue on with their fundamental transformation of the United States of America. And it's becoming so obvious to people. But they've got to come out and they've got to tell you that what you're seeing is not actually what you're seeing. And what you don't see is, well, they'll explain it for you. They'll tell you how to look at everything. Every day is January 6th. This is from Time magazine. January 6th may have been only the first wave of Christian nationalist violence. I mentioned to you yesterday how that they say it was perfect in 2020, but they're already talking about voter irregularities in 2022 and 2024. She brought up voting rights right there. And by voting rights, they want mass mail-in ballots. They want drop boxes all over the place. And then they want activists to come in and just pour ballots into these boxes like they did in Georgia. I'll get to that a little bit later. But here they are saying, hey, January 6th was just the beginning. It could be the beginning of a wave. No, the real wave of rioting and violence, it went on for months and months in 2020. And nobody on the left stopped it. Far from it. They encouraged it. People like Kamala Harris got the thugs out of jail the next day. Nobody rotted away in jail for months after burning down Macy's. January 6th may have been just the first wave. The Atlantic. January 6th wasn't a riot. It was a war. So really, when you think about that speech, the montage you heard at the top by the fake president, it's almost like a declaration of war. The enemy is Donald Trump and his supporters. And he's got his DOJ swinging into action for sure. Never mind what Garland said yesterday. We don't target, persecute, or investigate, you know, our political opponents. I mean, if they have to come out and say that over and over again, it's because people know. People know they're being targeted. Look at the biggest investigation in the history of the DOJ. And the DOJ announces just a few days ago, last week, it's still going. I mean, we're still going after hundreds more. They post this on their website. These are frightening times in the United States of America. We can give thanks to God that we know the truth. And the truth, it really and truly does set you free. Los Angeles Times, the January 6th attack on the Capitol was bad. It may have set the stage for worse. See, they're all saying the same thing. It's just like conservative Treehouse said following the Sunday talk shows a few days ago. They had these stories ready. Some of these stories I'm mentioning might be a little older. But, I mean, this is, they are obsessed with this. This January 6th narrative, NBC News, the riot, the Republic, and the fight for America's soul. It's an assault on democracy. I mentioned this article the other day at Real Clear Politics by Frank Meehl. And I mean, the more you see this, now you see, as proud as we are of the title we selected for a program the day after January 6, 2021, think about the advantages we have now in looking back over the last 12 months, in looking at who's being targeted and then who's not being arrested. In looking at the New York Times, Newsweek, both admitting that, yes, there were FBI informants in the crowd. And then what we know about John Sullivan, an Antifa thug. He was right there at the front of the crowd that went in. And then what we know from footage showing the flashbangs and the smoke grenades being launched into the crowd of protesters. What we know about Ashley Babbitt, gunned down, shot to death, given no warning, just shot to death. And then the question mark surrounding Roseanne Boylan, I believe is her name, another Trump supporter who died in the crowd. And some eyewitnesses have some pretty condemning things to say about law enforcement. These people want us to, they want us to think that suddenly they're pro-police. Suddenly they're pro-law enforcement. Did you notice Joe Biden there talking about the fire extinguishers that were being thrown at police officers' heads? He just can't let, okay, so Sicknick wasn't, he wasn't bashed to death by a Trump supporter. But hey, I'm still going to hang on to that fire extinguisher story for as long as I can. He said literally erecting gallows to hang the vice president. Where are the images of that? Literally erecting gallows. They were going to start hanging men and women of Congress, the vice president himself. So says the fake president who told you over and over again this morning that he's just here to tell the truth. Is he? This article by Frank Meehl. As we approach the anniversary of the January 6th insurrection, he's got that in quotes, the unspoken truth is that Donald Trump had nothing to gain and everything to lose by the violent assault on the Capitol that day. It says, so ask yourself, who benefited? Who benefited from the supposed coup at the Capitol? Not Trump. Not the Republicans who had put themselves on the line to support him with evidence of voting irregularities in several states. Who benefits? It says none other than the very Democrats who for the last year have worked tirelessly to discredit Trump and to find some way to disqualify him from being elected again in 2024. As I say, now we have 12 months to look back on this. Now we can examine the timeline. CNN had a chyron at 11:04 a.m. that morning saying, Trump to speak to supporters in desperate coup attempt. It was a coup before the speech. Before the speech. In the mind of CNN, it was a coup just to get up and say, hey, this election was rigged. You cannot contest it. You cannot talk about it. Big tech was in full motion by this point. They were censoring people who said, yeah, it was stolen. And then the constant harangue. No evidence, no evidence, no evidence, no evidence. Here's feature story news. You heard it at the top of the hour if you were preparing for our broadcast. This host, whoever he is, talking about Donald Trump's conspiracy theorist followers. That's just supposed to be the straight news. How about if you leave the commentary to me and just stick with the facts? Just report it. Just report. Why do you have to say Trump falsely claimed? How do you know? Did you examine the evidence? This is what passes for news today. These are just Democrats, radical Democrats at that. Trump's false claims? Look at what's happening in Georgia right about now. 242 activists caught on video, tracked with cell phone technology, and now a whistleblower coming forward saying, yeah, I was paid $45,000 to stuff the ballot boxes. How about that feature story news? Donald Trump's conspiracy theorist followers? This is what they want to paint with a broad brush right over the entire number of Trump supporters. They're all insurrectionists, you see. And January 6th proves it. And January 6th was worse than Pearl Harbor. Do you really believe that a majority of Americans believe that? Of course they don't. And yet still, these people have no shame. They get up in front of the camera. They use the word truth a couple dozen times. They quote the Bible. And then they angrily go after their political opponents. Put them in jail. For what? Trespassing? That's what most of them are in jail for. Nobody's been charged with insurrection or sedition because these people know it would never get any traction in court. Okay, so let's get them on some little misdemeanor charges. Let's get them on trespassing. Let's get them on, well, they held up the proceedings. Well, I mean, the House recessed at 2:11 in the afternoon that day, and then the Senate a few minutes later. So how are you going to go into court for those that did go into the Capitol after that? 2:30, 2:45, 3:30? Man, the whole thing lasted a couple hours. The Senate and the House were back in session in 4 hours. So you're going to go in to court and say, yeah, all these hundreds that streamed in, because at least in two locations, the law enforcement officials opened the doors. And then in comes Viking Hat Man. In comes the guy in the panda suit. I mean, it's a great insurrection. Trespassing. And so 3, 4, 5 months in jail for that? For the ones that were committing acts of violence, fine. Prosecute them like you didn't the ones in 2020. But leave that aside. This is a grave injustice, what we're witnessing. And these are audacious lies being repeated over and over again. And they know people don't believe them. So Brian Stelter has to get up and say, look, okay, I'll acknowledge the video. It doesn't make it look as violent as it really is, even though we've played it on a continuous loop for 12 months, the few violent pockets. But listen, this was terrifying. We've still got reporters with post-traumatic stress syndrome. Somebody said last night on a program, if you're suffering from that, if you're a reporter and you're suffering from that because of January 6th, you might want to get into a different line of business. Still, 12 months? And nothing traumatized the reporters in 2020. They were out in the middle of it. the guy on CNN, infamously, is standing in front of a burning building and saying, it's peaceful. It's peaceful. This is some kind of satanic attack. This is some kind of demonic influence that we're seeing day in, day out. Literally erecting gallows. They were so close to killing AOC. They were so close to killing Vice President Pence. Who has it benefited? Donald Trump tweeted yesterday, a great book by Julie Kelly, January 6th, How Democrats Used, listen to this, because in this case, here again, Donald Trump is spot on. Great book by Julie Kelly. January 6th, how Democrats used the Capitol protest to launch a war on terror against the political right is a complete expose of the left's efforts to create violence and then exploit the violence to smear the Republican Party. They've had a long history of doing this. They're not anti-violence, far from it. They create it, they promote it, and then they use it to carry out their political ambitions. That's what was happening all through 2020. And so we're supposed to believe that in 2021, in the lead up to this Electoral College count, where, by the way, and this gets lost in the, it gets lost in all of the noise, congressmen and women, senators were going to Congress that day to exercise their constitutional duty, their constitutional responsibility to examine the evidence of fraud. Let's look at it. Let's examine the evidence. Let's see. I mean, if 39% of America think it was stolen, we've got a constitutional duty to at least look into it. They create violence, and then they exploit it. So Donald Trump has the big rally. Everybody and their dog knows a million people are going to show up. He calls for, I think, 10,000 from the National Guard to come in and to make sure it's safe. But the DOJ, no, they passed on that. Nancy Pelosi, nope, don't need it. And meanwhile, you've got the FBI that had infiltrated the protest. The crowd. Donald Trump was on to Antifa by this point. He knew they would often show up at Trump rallies to commit acts of violence. What was it in Patriot Purge? One of the individuals in that documentary that said they had had something like 450 Trump rallies in the previous 18 months or whatever it was. I'm a little off on the numbers, but he said without incident. So there was a track record there of nonviolent mass gatherings, quite unlike the kinds we saw in the summer of 2020. And remember, by the way, when the White House came under assault for days, for 4 days? Remember how that 50 Secret Service members were injured? You're going to hear about that from any of these communists that are saying this is worse than 9/11? 4 days, the White House coming under siege, the President of the United States having to basically protect himself in the White House bunker. That violence, of course, is necessary. The violence that happened on January 6th, again, when you look at who benefits, that too was necessary. And so when it wasn't as violent as they wanted it to be, well, look at what we've been treated to. A steady diet of really egregious, criminal news coverage over the past 12 months. Again, what actually was happening at the early part of that afternoon on January 6th a year ago, it gets lost in all of the noise. Listen to this from, it would have been in the early afternoon before the protest turned violent, clip one.
Are there any objections to counting the certificate of vote of the state of Arizona that the teller has verified appears to be regular in form and authentic?
Mr. Vice President, I, Paul Gosar from Arizona.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Arizona rise?
I rise up for myself and 60 of my colleagues to object to the counting of the electoral ballots from Arizona.
Is the objection in writing and signed by a senator?
Yes, it is.
It is.
An objection presented in writing and signed by both a representative and a senator complies with the law, Chapter 1 of Title 3 of the United States Code.
that we are gathered at a time when democracy is in crisis. Recent polling shows that 39% of Americans believe the election that just occurred, quote, was rigged. You may not agree with that assessment, but it is nonetheless a reality for nearly half the country. I would note it is not just Republicans who believe that. 31% of independents agree with that statement. 17% of Democrats believe the election was rigged.
And 12 months on, those percentages, even higher. There's more Americans today who believe it was rigged than there were on that day a year ago. And there's Ted Cruz. He's standing up to speak or to object, I think, together with Paul Gosar. You've got to have a sense. This is something Democrats have done routinely to contest the results of an election. Go back and look at the footage from Bush v. Gore. They'd stand up and object, congressmen and women, even if they didn't have a senator signing on with it. So here you have Paul Gosar. He's in the House, and you've got to have a senator to sign on. And Ted Cruz did do that. At a little after 1 p.m. on January 6, 2021. And he says there, look, nearly half the country believe it was stolen. And you know what happened 2 hours before Ted Cruz got up to speak? Before Ted Cruz got up to protest? And there, by the way, there was 23 seconds of applause. That's some pretty enthusiastic support. I know they were just Republicans and they're applauding, but still, a lot of it was a well-organized plan to argue the case, as so many of these congressmen and women are attorneys, and they had broken up into 5-6 groups regarding the states in question. Arizona was the first. They started with the A in the alphabet. And as you know, they didn't quite make it through because in the middle, it was January 6th, the protest that dominated the news cycle. And then the senators, the congressmen and women came back after all of that settled down and quietly agreed to just go ahead and certify everything. Never mind the 12 hours of debate that we had in the House and in the Senate. Never mind the fact that we had our six teams ready to present the evidence. I mean, we just want to look at the evidence, right? And like Ted Cruz would later say, if there's no evidence, then you have nothing to be concerned about. Let me just repeat what the fake president said in that montage you heard at the top of the program. He said, every legal challenge questioning that result was made. Well, not the one in Congress. That one wasn't made. That one was silenced by what? The January 6th protest. Who benefited? If you know who benefited from it, you can see it plainly now. Then you get a pretty good idea of who was behind it. Of who incited it. Of who wanted it. Of who had to frame it in just such a way. If it's as bad as Pearl Harbor, then release the 14,000 hours of footage from cameras in Congress, not just the one that you want to selectively show. Show it all, and then everyone's in agreement. Okay, here come the kamikazes. They're blowing up ships in Hawaii. We know this is horrible. We know this is the start of war. Show it. Pelosi can't do it. They didn't want the National Guard there. They wanted violence. They had the FBI informants in there. There's the story of this New Jersey man that was being recruited by the FBI. And he said, no, I don't want to help you. He goes to the protest later and then is arrested after the fact. He wouldn't help the FBI, so he's the enemy. He's the enemy. But if you're Ray Epps and you help the FBI, oh, let's go to the Capitol. He should have been the first guy arrested Tucker Carlson points out in his documentary that he was a wanted man going back to April or May of last year. And then suddenly, Ray Epps disappears from the most wanted list. Why? Why? We're 12 months in, right? Now we're beginning to get an idea. Okay, something isn't right here. And they keep saying this is the worst since the Civil War. It's the worst since Pearl Harbor. It's worse than that even. Truth. We're telling the truth. It's just like the devil, the father of lies. And yet he comes, like the Bible says, he comes as an angel of light. And he says, look, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. I'm here to separate the lies from the truth. And I'm going to give you the truth. The truth of it is, these were terrorists. These were insurrectionists. These were seditionists. And these were Trump supporters. So we got to go after them. Going back to January 6th, a year ago, here, this was in the clip I just played for you, but listen again to Mike Pence, clip two.
An objection presented in writing and signed by both a representative and a senator complies with the law.
It complies with the law. If you have a congressman stand up to object and a senator signs on with it, then a lawful proceeding ensues where you debate, where you argue about the legitimacy of the election. But this is what the communists and the media and the Democrat Party, they didn't want this to happen. They didn't want this to go forward, this lawful proceeding. And so everything was suspended when they had to evacuate the chambers because of all of the insurrectionists. And then a few hours later, all these Republicans changed their tune. It's a pretty clear picture of what actually happened. You go back, though, to that day. It's pretty interesting to see what or how it started and then how everything was derailed. And then how that the communists have used that incident ever since to continue their assault on Donald Trump and his supporters in Congress and in the United States. Here's clip three from Ted Cruz.
I want to speak to the Republicans who are considering voting against these objections. I understand your concerns, but I urge you to pause and think. What does it say to the nearly half the country that believes this election was rigged if we vote not even to consider the claims of illegality and fraud in this election?
What are you going to do, said Ted Cruz? Don't we have an obligation? The people voted for us. If nearly half the country feels like there was fraudulent activity, well, we've got to look into it. So that's what they were preparing to do. And these groups of attorneys and slash congressmen and women, they, as I said, divvied up into 5-6 groups to argue each case: Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. Here again is Ted Cruz from a year ago, clip four.
And so I endeavored to look for door number three, a third option, and for that I looked to history, to the precedent of the 1876 election, the Hayes-Tilden election, where this Congress appointed an electoral commission to examine claims of voter fraud. 5 House members, 5 senators, 5 Supreme Court justices examined the evidence and rendered a judgment. And what I would urge of this body is that we do the same, that we appoint an electoral commission to conduct a 10-day emergency audit, consider the evidence, and resolve the claims.
That's January 6, 2021. An electoral commission, 5 congressmen, 5 senators, 5 judges. Let's look at the evidence. Let's audit this. An emergency 10-day. It seems reasonable. If there's no evidence, it's no problem. They didn't want to look at the evidence. They didn't want to have these senators and congressmen and women present the evidence on national television. They wanted them silenced. What did the fake president say this morning? Every legal challenge questioning the result was made. Well, not the one in Congress on January 6th. It was just barely getting started there with Ted Cruz. A few minutes after that speech, the proceeding was suspended. And then after the protest, after the 3 or 4 hours of that, it was all over. Just the way the communists and the media wanted it. Let's not look at the evidence. Let's not examine these piles and mountains of evidence that Rudy Giuliani was trying to take to state legislatures, one after another, witness after witness, affidavit after affidavit. Here's Ted Cruz again, one last clip from a year ago, clip 5.
The Constitution gives to Congress the responsibility this day to count the votes. The framers knew what they were doing when they gave responsibilities to Congress. We have a responsibility, and I would urge that we follow the precedent of 1877. The Electoral Count Act explicitly allows objections such as this one for votes that were not regularly given. And let me be clear, this objection is for the state of Arizona, but it is broader than that. It is an objection for all six of the contested states to have a credible, objective, impartial body hear the evidence and make a conclusive determination.
Hear the evidence, and then we can decide. I think there were quite a few Republicans that figured that, well, if the Democrats all stay together on this, Biden's still going to get in there. But there were a lot that wanted, they at least wanted the evidence to be presented. They at least wanted a hearing. That was Ted Cruz from a year ago. And here's Ted Cruz from yesterday, clip 6.
We are approaching a solemn anniversary this week. And it is an anniversary of a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol, where we saw the men and women of law enforcement demonstrate incredible courage, incredible bravery, risk their lives to defend the men and women who serve in this Capitol.
A violent terrorist attack on the Capitol. You'll notice he didn't say anything about contesting the election, the Electoral Commission, the 5 congressmen, 5 senators. Look, I've got an option. Let's just have a hearing. Let's get the Supreme Court to look at this. Half of the country believes it was stolen. All of that doesn't matter now. What is it that matters? This is Ted Cruz. This is not Maxine Waters. This is not Joe Scarborough. This is Ted Cruz turning into Liz Cheney. And it's happened in just 12 months. Now it's Pearl Harbor. That's all that matters. Congress came under attack. It was a violent insurrection. He sounds in that little clip like Joe Biden did this morning. Who does it benefit? The insurrection hoax. It's still being used to intimidate people like Ted Cruz even into silence. The election was perfect. No need to look at the evidence. Just turn a blind eye to what happened. Never mind what Americans think. Just carry on. Carry on. And oh, by the way, really go after those violent terrorists. And Merrick Garland is doing a pretty good job of that. This was a tweet by the radical Democrat attorney Mark Elias, who's worked with Hillary Clinton and a bunch of other big-name Democrats. He said on December 20th, "My prediction for 2022, before the midterm election, we will have a serious discussion about whether individual Republican House members are disqualified by Section 3 of the 14th Amendment from serving in Congress. We may even see litigation." Mark Elias said, "My prediction for this year, 2020, is that members of Congress might be disqualified even before the November election. Why? Well, he posts Section 3 of the Constitution, talking about those who are engaged in insurrection. If it was an insurrection, they wouldn't be still trying to prove it 12 months later. Again, if it's Pearl Harbor and 9/11, it's obvious what happens. Everybody sees it. But they're still going through, what did Sean Hannity text to so-and-so, and how long Donald Trump was watching it on TV? How dare he? He waited an hour before his video statement? This is what they're still running with it because they want to get more mileage out of it. It's not enough to arrest grandma on trespassing charges. We've got to go after all of them, except for the informants. We've got to go after all of them and then some. The DOJ bragging on December 3rd. Yeah, we've got 750. I think there's 350 more we can nab. And then Mark Elias saying, yeah, go after the congressional workers as well. And ultimately, of course, the big prize is Trump himself. And what gets lost in all of this noise? The fraud. The real insurrection. The real coup. We played this clip for you at the top of yesterday's show. This is clip 11.
Here's the bottom line of this. You can't ballast harvest in Georgia. What turned this around is a whistleblower that came forward. On the tapes, they identified 240 of the same people going around the state, stuffing ballot drop boxes between 2 and 5 a.m., not 8 p.m. at night, not 10 a.m., between 2 and 5 a.m., where they were emptying backpacks out and dropping 10, 15, 20, 100 ballots into a drop box. Totally illegal.
Totally illegal. So here's a bit of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's illegal, and 242 activists are on camera doing it, and one of them has confessed, a whistleblower. Secretary of State Raffensperger, he was asked about this investigation yesterday on a news source or a news outlet. I don't know the news outlet specifically, but listen to what he says, clip 7.
You received what I read is credible information that at least 242 people made some 5,662 ballot drop-offs during the Georgia Senate runoff elections. Now, many of those drops I read took place in the middle of the night. So talk us through this. What evidence do you have?
Well, on day one, I outlawed ballot harvesting when I took office in 2019. And now credible evidence was given to us that people were harvesting ballots. Ballot drop boxes were previously allowed under Georgia law, and we put some guardrails on that. One of that was having 24/7 surveillance during the pandemic. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be aware of this. So information was provided to us, and they said there's a witness, a John Doe, and so we're looking at subpoenaing that person to get the information, exactly what did he do, what didn't he do, who retained him, and get the whole information. So we have some information, and you know, we've done a deep dive on the investigation, and we'll be digging into that. We'll make sure that we can root out, you know, absentee ballot fraud wherever it occurs. Ballot harvesting is illegal in Georgia, and we will prosecute it.
Now, as I told you on yesterday's show, he's in the midst of a re-election year, so his tune's changing just a little bit, sounding like he's willing to look into this. Here's another bit from the exchange, clip 8.
You know, what I've said from day one, you know, we're going to follow this wherever it takes us. We're going to get a subpoena, and we're going to get the information about this, and it'll be out there, and we'll prosecute and send that over to the Attorney General's office. This is a serious violation.
It's a serious violation, and I guess the ones that were engaged in the ballot harvesting will be prosecuted. But what about the bigger question? You know, the elephant in the room. Did it influence the election? Did it swing the election in the favor of Joe Biden? Here, clip 9.
Following the 2020 election, there were many concerns about the outcome of the election in Georgia. You rejected those claims. Based on the information recently presented to you, do you have any concerns now regarding the outcome of the 2020 election?
Well, ballot harvesting, those are still lawful ballots, but they've just been, you know, handled fraudulently.
He's the Secretary of State in Georgia. They're lawful ballots, but they've been handled fraudulently. So, well, how does that work? If they were fraudulently processed, how does it make the ballots themselves lawful? Again, he makes some statements suggesting he's going to go after those who are guilty. But if the ballots were harvested, if they were harvested, and ballot harvesting in Georgia is illegal, the ballots are not lawful. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an attorney. But that's not a truthful statement. To argue that the ballots are lawful, but the way that it was all handled is fraudulent. Coming back to this article by Meal at RealClear, it says, when they called his claim that the election was stolen the big lie, what they meant was that they don't agree with him. See, that's the thing. The communists, they didn't want to view the evidence. The big lie is that the election in 2020 was perfect. And look at the investigation. Look at the video now. Look at just look at Georgia to take one example. It says here, in the Orwellian world of Democrats, trying to prove that fraud was committed by someone else means you are guilty of fraud. So they say it's Donald Trump who's trying to steal the election. It's Donald Trump who's guilty of fraud. They have to connect the insurrection hoax together with the evidence of wrongdoing or fraud in the election itself, because they want the whole thing erased and blotted out. What they want, the real insurrection to be blotted out. They don't want you examining the evidence that was about to be examined on this day a year ago. So, hey, it was Pearl Harbor. And what triggered it? It was this hoax. It was this big lie that the election was somehow stolen. So it was all together a coup, an attempted coup from the beginning, and Donald Trump was leading the way. This is the narrative that they're sticking with, and they're still using it to carry out their aims. This article, finally, it says, to argue, as Liz Cheney and Nancy Pelosi do, that Trump didn't have the right to contest the election is to replace the rule of law with the rule of intimidation. So here we see how the communists operate. The rule of law, it was being applied, as Mike Pence clearly said. All right, if a congressman steps up and he's got a senator to sign on, this is according to law. But this is exactly, like my father's written over the years, this is exactly what communists are working to undermine. They don't want the rule of law. They want the rule of intimidation. And so that's why you have all these early morning raids on Trump supporters, these pre-dawn raids. You got to put them in jail. They've got to rot in jail. That's why Mark Elias is saying, I think there's going to be some congressmen and women that are taken out, that are disqualified even before the midterm elections. Says the Democrats and their partners in the media have used, and they are partners, have used all their assembled might to coerce Trump and his allies into silence. His only crime, Trump's only crime, is that he won't shut up about the election being stolen. He's about the only one that's stood firm on the fact that it's been stolen. That's really what Ted Cruz should have been talking about all day yesterday. Hey, we're coming up to this anniversary. Let's get back to what we were unable to argue because of the insurrection hoax. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Submit some feedback. We'd love to hear from you. TD@thetrumpet.com. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.